And I got in the car finally and headed back to Athens, and I thought, oh my gosh, he's really, really thinking about making a run for the United States Senate. And it was an exciting thing to think about. I hoped he would make a run for the House of Representatives at least. I think a lot of his friends thought if he ever ran for anything, he would run for something like that to begin with, or for some state office. But for the U.S. Senate, no. I don't think anybody envisioned that he might make a run for the Senate that year. So it was a foolhardy thing we were supposedly undertaking, according to most people that knew either one of us. But in the end, it worked. We had enough time to get the people of Georgia to know him and to discern in him the qualities of leadership and representation that they were looking for. In the end, he had the support of Coretta Scott King and on one end, and George Wallace at the very end on the other end, and former segregationist governor Marvin Griffin and Lester Maddox, and so it ran the spectrum, and I used to wonder if he could hold that coalition together, and I shouldn't have wondered because he did. And I think it was held together because, as he once told me, they were all looking for the same thing. Someone who would listen to them, hear their views on issues, hear their problems, and to responsibly address them. Go to Washington, read, study, learn, and make decisions that were in their best interest. And if they didn't agree with him, at least it would be someone who could explain his position and help them to understand their point of view. So they were all looking for the same thing as really as we should be doing today. Not looking for somebody to walk in lockstep with their party, but someone who would understand that once you get in, you should put partisanship aside and begin to compromise and cooperate with your colleagues in order to move this government forward. That's the only way it moves. It doesn't move any other way. And I think to approach it on anything but a nonpartisan way when you're trying to accomplish something is wrong.
My guest is Roland McElroy. He has written a memoir, The Best President the Nation Never Had, and he is telling about his working with Sam Nunn. And Sam Nunn at this point is trying to decide whether to run. He's just about decided that. And he was asked, "Well, I'll support you, Sam, but I have a question that'll determine my level of support for you." And he says, "Sam, are you willing to give up golf for the next 11 months?" And what did Sam say?
There was a pause. Usually there's not a pause, but when you bring up golf and you're questioning whether he's committed to it or not, there's going to be a pause. But there was a pause that day before he finally told a group of us, yes, firmly, he said, yes, he was going to give it up. And all of us in the room found that hard to believe. We all know how much he loved then and loves now playing his game of golf. And for him to say that he was willing to give it up for 9 months, whatever it was going to be at that time, was quite significant. And we knew that he was committed to it. But there was nothing really that was going to dissuade him from making that run once he had made the decision, once he had weighed all the factors that were involved and he had decided to come down on the side of running and made that commitment, there was nothing that was going to dissuade him from that. We had one person who called him, a member of his family, as a matter of fact, a cousin, I think, who said, "We've been running for about 3 or 4 months," and this person called on a Sunday afternoon to his house and said, "Sam, I'm going to speak to you like your brother and tell you that you need to get out of this race. You can save your reputation. Your family won't be too embarrassed. If you just get out now, you can run again another day, run for lieutenant governor or something like that down the road." And He listened. I think I would have been crushed by it if I'd been running and I'd had a cousin call me that way. But he listened to this fellow and finally hung up the phone and looked at me and said, "We've got a lot of work to do." And he wouldn't pay any attention to anybody who tried to tell him you shouldn't run or you should drop out. That's what you have to have. It's like anything you want to do well in life. You've got to have a passion for it and make a commitment to it. And he did. And he's always been that way.
And he expected commitment from his staff. He, Christmas Eve, he asked you to meet to plan this political campaign. And so that was kind of a preview of coming attractions, that you're going to have to sacrifice a lot of your life for Sam Nunn. But you also says it. You say it's worth. It was worth it.
Oh, absolutely! Are you kidding? I mean, this guy went to the U.S. Senate, and regardless of the state, I mean, it doesn't make any difference. He established a record there that would be the envy of any representative or any senator from any other state. He accomplished quite a bit, and in particular in the area of defense and foreign policy. And not only the Nuclear Reduction Act, but the reorganization of the Defense Department, which came about in landmark legislation in 1986, streamlined the chain of command, made a huge difference in the outcome of the 1991 Gulf War, the first one. I mean, the list of accomplishments, quite frankly, is long. But he did it in a very special way by adhering to the highest ethical standards from the very beginning, being very honest, not allowing anyone to get into his life in the way lobbyists like to do, who want to buy the influence, and they do that very well with a lot of people. But he's always made clear to lobbyists that he's grateful for their support, but not to expect him to vote their way every time, that he would listen. But he was always going to vote the best interest of the people. And he did. He did. I tell you, you know, when people are trying to make up their minds about candidates to support, they ought to look and or ought to listen and see if that person mentions the words public service or public servant. If they don't say those words in the first 2 or 3 minutes that you're talking to them, you might doubt whether that person is specially cut out for that particular public office. It is all about public service. It is all about earning the public's trust before you enter public service. When I have people come to me who are doctors, a lot of them are lawyers, professionals of all kinds, and they express an interest in running for office, which is good. I mean, the ordinary citizen ought to feel like he could run sometime, but they should be doing it for the right reasons, not for their own special interest to satisfy some ego. It's not an ego trip, but to serve the public. They should mention the words public service. If they don't understand that that's what it's about, then they should probably look for something else to do. Being an experienced person in any vocation is a good quality. All those other things are good too, if you're whatever the profession you come from. But if you don't understand that you're about to enter a different field altogether, public service, then you probably should think long and hard about getting into it. And if you're the voter, you ought to think long and hard about whether you want to support that person or not. That's my plug for the day, Nancy.
Well, Sam Nunn made that decision, but the campaign didn't get off to a very good start. In fact, shortly after that Christmas Eve meeting, this first day of January, the next year, 1972, the political area political editor of the Atlanta Constitution wrote in a column the 10 most insignificant news stories of the previous year, and he listed Sam Nunn's, quote, plan to break with Jimmy Carter and run for the U.S. Senate. And so nobody thought that well, I take that back. Some people who knew his record as a student, like his coach, his teachers, these are people who knew Sam Nunn had what it take to accomplish whatever he set out to accomplish. So in spite of the naysayers, Sam Nunn was going to go ahead with this. it was amusing that some of the things that when you're trying to run a campaign and you think, well, we'll hire these ad men who knew what they're doing, and you discover that many of them knew even less about campaigns than you did. And I was turned the page in your book, and I saw this bumper sticker, and I thought, I can't read some of the letters in this. The critical words, Sam Nunn, I could barely read. What was the matter with that bumper sticker?
We were neophytes in everything that we did, including a simple thing like making a bumper sticker. And it was an old-fashioned paper bumper sticker. They wouldn't do that these days. They're all vinyl, you know, that peel off very well. But it was an old paper bumper sticker, and the red lettering on it, the only thing that was red on it was Sam Nunn's name. Problem was, it was not color fast, and about 2 weeks after they were put on bumper stickers, the red letters completely faded away. And the slogan was, "Get tough in Washington, put Sam Nunn in the Senate." But when the Sam Nunn part had faded away, it was blank there. And so one supporter called the office to tell us about this problem. And he said, "I'm thinking of writing my own name in." And we decided, we told him it was not quite yet the time for him to do that. And we were going to send him some new ones, which we did. But I mean, you know, we made mistakes one after the other, which if you did those kinds of things today, you wouldn't even scratch in a political campaign. There's so much more complicated to run, and so many other ways in which you need to be known before you start. It's very, very difficult for someone with no experience in politics whatsoever to get the traction that he needs quickly enough to make a difference.